The Michael K. Show podcast is brought to you by the new 2010 Lincoln MKS with available EcoBoost technology, 355 horsepower, and 350 pounds of torque. Lincoln, reach higher.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Exclusive interviews and nonstop Team 1050 coverage. Now, it's the Michael K. Show podcast.
It's time for 1050's New York Jets Player Spotlight, brought to you by Metro PCS. Metro PCS gives you unlimited talk, text, and web for just $40 a month. Metro PCS, unlimit yourself. And our guest today in the Jets Player Spotlight is Chris Jenkins, nice enough to join us in what I'm sure is a very tough time for him. Chris, we thank you for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
When you got hurt, did you realize it was this serious?
Honestly, it is one of those situations that I've experienced it before, and when I heard it injured it the first time, I knew what the pop felt like, and with it happening the second time, it wasn't, you know, rocket science. I knew that it was something that was pretty serious.
Now, how did it happen? Did somebody fall on your leg, or you twisted the wrong way?
From the look of it, it just looked like, we had a couple of guys that were trying to make a tackle or make a play, and somebody just kind of felt a little bit awkward, and, you know, that just happened to, you know, hit the inside of my leg, and it just went.
When you found out that you were out for the season, the doctors told you, what was your reaction, Chris?
Honestly, at that point, you just, you know, it's an emotional thing because you want to play and you want to get back up and go out there. But, you know, at the moment, it was hard for me to kind of accept it. But at the same time, you know, just knowing that it was something that it's a season ender and it's not a career ender. So, you know, I do have the opportunity to rehab and get everything together. So I'm just making sure that I stay positive and upbeat about it and just, you know, working and doing everything I can to make it just that much stronger when I do return.
Chris, I got to tell you, I look at you as the focal point of that defense because everything else works off you. So let me ask you a question that I don't even know if you have the answer to. How do we expect the Jets to win without Chris Jenkins?
Easy, one play at a time.
Yeah, but nobody is you.
I mean, but it's just not just that, though. This is something that we sign up for. This is something that is the reality of this game. And I am not the Jets defense. I mean, you know, I do love the support that I get from people who think that, you know, I do play a big part of it, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, you know, I have a lot of confidence in these guys, and I think that they can step it up, and I think that they can make everything happen. I think that it's just something that they're going to have to rally around the situation, and they're going to go out there and they're going to have to just show everybody what Jets football is about. But that hasn't just been something that I've been saying just now. It's been something that Rex has been talking about for a long time. We have a lot of guys who have a lot of potential to do things. They just have to go and just make it happen.
Well, who could fill in for you? Who do you think is best suited to play the role of Chris Jenkins in this defense?
I really think that it's going to be a couple of guys. I think Sione Poa, I think that he can get in there and get some things done. I think that Mike DeVito, I think Howard Green, I think with Sean Ellis and Marcus Douglas, it'll be a little bit of mixing it up and getting some guys in there. We have a young guy in Rapati Patoitua who a lot of people don't know about yet, but I think that they will soon enough. We do have a veteran group. We have guys who have been around the game for a while, and I think that, it will be a collective effort, but I think all of these guys can get it done.
Now, have any of your teammates talked to you since the diagnosis and the fact that you're going to be out for the season, and what have they said to you?
To get better, you know, they're going to miss me being out there with them, but they're going to, they're going to back up what it was that I told them, and they're going to go out there and make it happen. So I'm excited to see what these guys do.
Now, what did Rex tell you? Did he have anything to say?
Yeah, well, what he he said, I can't repeat on the radio, you know, but he just said it was basically, it was messed up. But he understands that, you know, for me now, my focus has to be on, you know, rehabbing and getting things together and just making sure that, you know, I stay on top of my weight and everything. And I'm committed to that. I'm committed to doing everything that I can. But right now, you know, as much as I wish I could help the guys on the field, I can't. So just whatever I can do to help them off the field, if it is, you know, teaching them a couple of the tricks that I use or just whatever it is, I'm going to be committed to that because I want my team to win.
Will you stay around the team despite the rehab, and when will you have the surgery?
Oh, absolutely, I'll be there. You know, the surgery will be in a couple of weeks, but at the same time, you have to understand that I'm just not a football player. I'm also a professional. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I can do to kind of help be an ambassador for my team, for the organization, just working with charity, doing whatever it is, just helping with guys, helping coaching. I mean, it's just a number of things that I can do to help out, and I'm going to try to do the best that I can to make my presence felt in any way I can until I get back to the field.
Talking to Chris Jenkins on the Jets Player Spotlight here on 1050 ESPN New York. Now, Chris, let's talk about the team. What has happened with this team? Things are going so great, 3-0, now three losses in a row, and the last two against teams that you would think that the Jets would beat. What's happening with this team in your estimation?
You know, honestly, in my opinion, I think that we kind of hit a rut. I think that, you know, we got a lot of success coming out the gate, and this was also on top of just some of the things that happened the year prior to Rex getting here. And I think a lot of guys just got complacent, and they just really kind of assumed that things were going to work. I don't think that right now our biggest issue is, you know, learning how to win. I think our biggest issue was learning how to win when we're winning. I think that we have to learn how to, you know, stay on top of it when we are doing good. I think that we thrive well in adversity. I think that when we have situations where we have to prove ourselves, we do great. But when everybody's kind of telling us that we're good, I think that we kind of drop the ball. So I think that we have to learn how to be better winners.
Now, by that, I'm assuming that these guys, and you're included, I don't know if you did it, but did everybody start believing their press clippings, how great the Jets are, and maybe that takes away from the preparation?
You know, I think that it might have had something to do with it. I don't know to what extent, but, you know, you have to understand that a lot of guys have a huge responsibility in just policing themselves on and off the field. And in a market like New York, that can be a very tough situation. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it as a cop-out, but, you know, New York is a big city and it offers a lot. And you have to understand a lot of guys, they kind of do get sidetracked at some point, but I'm confident that with the new coaching regime, with everything the way that it's going, I think the guys are going to get on top of it because I think that we have the type of coach who's not going to be tolerating anything like that. So whatever happens with this, I think that it's going to be a great time for things to get exposed so we can clean it up. And that's what we brought Rex in. We brought Rex in so he could take care of that. And I love the fact that everybody is looking for us to do so much in his first year. And I like the fact that he is about that as well. But at the same time, you know, we're going to get this stuff done. We're going to get it tagged up, and we're going to show everybody what Jets football means to us.
Could these last two losses, especially to the Dolphins and the Bills, could it be a little bit of a wake-up call for this team?
I think it was a bit of a wake-up call, honestly. I think that, you know, I think a lot of guys got humbled in that situation, and I think that they understand that, you know, we're not invincible. I mean, we played two pretty good teams. I know that a lot of people didn't think so because of the records, but, you know, with division games, we have a tough division, and you can't go into a division game not playing at your fullest potential, because if you're not, then you see the outcome.
Don and Bonnie, do you have anything for Chris?
Chris, I remember when you were with the Panthers, I guess it might have been back in 05 or 06, you suffered another ACL injury, but it was on your other side. Having had that experience, does that change at all or give you any more clarity on how you have to go about rehabbing this one?
Well, yes, it gives me a lot of clarity on the situation, and it also gives me a lot of confidence. I mean, I've been through it once, and it's just not a fun surgery to have. It's not a fun rehab to have, but if you stay at it and you keep your focus and you worry about everything that you need to take care of, you will come back better than where you were before it, and I'm confident that I will do such a thing. So it's something that it's just a waiting game, and I have to exercise patience because I'm not going to get back on the field for a minute, but I'm just going to make sure that when I come back, I'm playing that much better than I was before I got hurt.
Chris, I'll tell you what, Chris. Don, you can ask him to say, but you sound like you're kind of upbeat, and that's much different than I expected, which is a great thing. I guess that's part of the process of getting better as well. But you don't sound like you're really beating yourself up over this.
I mean, well, you know, certain things come with age, honestly. And, you know, when I was younger in my career, you know, I wasn't the brightest speck on the planet. You know, I was young. I was doing some things that weren't the smartest things in the world. And, you know, some things, they come with age. And just with getting to the point I am with my life now, you know, being married in regards to single now, you know, having my priorities together and knowing what I'm doing all of this for, it gives me another type of motivation in itself, just because, you know, it's the cause that I'm fighting for is bigger than myself. It's not just about me. It's about my family, and it's about my team. So, and it's about the fans of New York. So I feel like I'm playing and I'm representing a lot here, and I'm very excited to be a part of this.
Now, you mentioned that maybe this team got caught reading their press clippings a little bit, similar to last year when you were 8-3 to start the season. Do you think this team can look into what happened last year and use it and try to reverse it this season?
I think they can. I mean, it's definitely a player's thing. I mean, this is what usually happens at this point. Somebody in the locker room is going to have to step up and really be a leader and get everybody going. It's going to be something that's about the players, and Rex can't win every battle. The coaches can't win every battle. You know, it's one thing, you know, for the coaches to talk and say things, you know, during the week, but at some point in time, the players have to step up and play, and it's going to have to be somebody to lead this group.
Chris, I actually had one other question. What do you need to do diet-wise to make sure that your weight doesn't balloon while you're rehabbing?
Starve.
I can't imagine that's the fun part of the process.
No, I'll be fine. You know, it's just I have to stick to what I was doing in the off season. You know, before I come into training camp, it's just that, and I'll stick to the diet that I use, and it won't be a problem. I just have to, you know, just stay on top of it.
No carbs. That's it, Chris. No carbs.
Yeah, that's the strong part of it.
Anyway, thanks for coming on. I know this isn't a real good time for you, but we appreciate your time, and we wish you good luck in your rehab.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
You got it. That's Chris Jenkins, 1050's New York Jets Player Spotlight, brought to you by Metro PCS. Metro PCS gives you unlimited talk, text, and web for just $40 a month. Metro PCS, unlimit yourself. We have Rex Ryan coming up at 5 o'clock, and Rex will talk about some of what Chris just alluded to. And also at 4:20, we'll talk to Eli Manning. But definitely, Don and Bonnie and I, we have to talk about some of the things that Chris just said, which I thought were very, very cogent, especially this team probably got a little full of itself. Do you think so? 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. The Michael K. Show, we roll on until 7:10, 1050 ESPN New York.
You're in the middle of the Michael K. Show podcast.
We are joined now, as we always are, usually on Monday, but yesterday with the shortened show, he was nice enough to move it till today. Giant quarterback Eli Manning. Eli, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How's the heel feel after playing on it 2 weeks in a row now?
The heel feels great. It really does. It felt good for the game, and you know, I think that's kind of over with. I still have to, you know, do some maintenance on it and make sure I'm just staying stretched and whatnot. But you know, it's feeling tons better, and shouldn't be a factor anymore.
Now, playing a game at the Superdome was a dream of yours, I'm sure, since you were a child when you went there as your dad. But the dream didn't exactly work out the way you wanted. Am I right?
Yeah, it's not the didn't go exactly how I imagined it and pictured it all week, but you know, that's just football, and you know, those things happen. So, you know, we just got to you know, learn from it. You know, there's some great teaching tools that we can learn from, and just come back and get better, have a great week of practice, and know that during the season you're gonna have some ups and downs, and it's about you know, responding to a game when you lose and coming back better.
Were you a little shocked, though, Eli, that the Saints dominated the Giants as much as they did? I mean, the Giants came in at 5-0, number one ranked defense, and it seemed like Drew Brees had his way with the Giant defense. You don't need to comment on the defense, but just the game in general.
Yeah, they just, you know, they jumped out and got an early lead. The thing that's, we had our chances offensively. We had some shots to get some touchdowns and, overthrew Steve Smith on an easy one. Had a chance to hit Hicks in the first possession, just underthrew it maybe a little bit, and guy made a good play. So, we had some opportunities, and I think, really the killer was the fumble right before halftime. We were down 10 points, maybe had a shot to go get a field goal before half, and knowing we were going to get the ball again after halftime, that was hurt. When you're down 10, you're still right in the game, a lot of time left, but to go down 17 right there and then not to get any points in the third quarter, then it just got into a long, when you're down a bunch and have to throw it every down and they know it, the defense is always going to be at an advantage, and they're doing some of their blitz schemes and whatnot, just got hard to move the ball.
Now, Eli, let's talk about the drive or the attempted drive at the end of the first half, because we debated about it yesterday, and my feeling was things weren't going well in the first half. You're at the 16. There are 55 seconds remaining. Why even attempt to go for it? Why not just go into halftime, straighten things out with the defense, and know that you're going to get the ball to start up the second half? Why tempt fate there?
Well, I think we've always been pretty good at the 2 minute, and thought we had an opportunity to, with the penalty, we're going to have decent field position. Not awesome, but we're going to kind of see if we get something started and go from there. The first play, we hit get about a 20-yard gain off the get go. So we were looking, things were looking good. Had an opportunity to get down the field, maybe hit a big play, or just give yourself a shot for a field goal. Kind of knowing hopefully you don't get a turnover, and then they got the free hit on me, and I got to do a better job just protecting the ball. I can't afford to turn the ball over right there.
I'm sure you've looked at the tape already. What went wrong overall with the team, and why they got manhandled the way they did? And obviously, I know what happened in the second half because they knew you were going to throw all the time. But did the tapes tell you anything that you didn't know on Sunday, Eli?
I think it just saw that we had some opportunities offensively in the first half. We scored 17 points. We did some good things. It's not like we were just awful in the first half. We just got two touchdowns, got a field goal, had some opportunities for some other big plays and touchdowns. We just didn't take advantage of it. We still felt good offensively that we were going to be able to move the ball and go and score and make a game of it. At least, get it close, give yourself an opportunity. We just, in the second half, we had another interception when we were driving. We moved the ball pretty well at times. It's not like we were just stopped. We had some big plays. We just had too many negative plays.
And that
was really the key.
A lot of it was made a big deal of it. I think Gary Myers wrote an entire column about it, that you yelled at Ahmad Bradshaw coming off the field about something, and that was very unlike you. You usually don't show up a teammate. Do you think you were showing him up, and were you surprised that such a big deal was made of it?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised a big deal is made of it. I talked to Ahmad. I wasn't trying to, call him out. I was just frustrated, just the whole game. And thought we had a chance to hit a big play right there. And instead, threw an interception. So I was just frustrated at that moment. And so, it's just football. I don't think there's any big deal to make of it.
What happened there that you were upset with, though? I mean, did he miss an assignment, a block?
Well, we had an opportunity to maybe hit a play. They had a blitz. I thought we were going to have it picked up, and, we just didn't get picked up. But I got to be smart. I can't throw it up high, right to the corner. I just, take a sack there, throw it in the ground, or throw it away. But so it's just a miscommunication and that's football, and you got to learn from it. Not everything's always going to go perfect, it always comes down. I'm the one who's got to make the decision whether to make a throw or not, and so it's a bad throw on my part.
Eli, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm talking with Eli Manning here on the Michael Kay Show, 1050 ESPN in New York. Go on, Don.
Eli, it looks like you might not have your five starting offensive linemen for the game against Arizona for the first time in nearly 3 years. How much is that a concern for you?
Well, we just got to see, you know, what's gonna happen with Kareem and how he's doing. I saw him yesterday. You know, he's looking good. So, you know, we got Will Beattie, who's been playing. We've tried to get him some playing time. You know, kind of throughout the year and slowly get him in. But he has played and done pretty good. So, you know, he should have a good week of practice. And you know, everybody should be on the same page and know what's going on. We just got to go out there and play well.
Offensive line always tends to be de-emphasized, Eli. Can you give people some insight as to how important it is for you to have a cohesive line like you've had for the last 38 games?
Well, they just do a great job of communicating things. You know, when you're changing plays or changing protections, or you know, if defense is showing a new look, just be able to get into different calls to pick up a blitz or to get into the run game. So they do a great job, just you know, working together, being on the same page. And I got great faith in them, all those guys that they're gonna do their job, and so. You know, it's been great to have you know, those guys all together, being in the same offense, going through the same things for the last couple of years. So you know, we've had guys you know, go out for a game or two, but you know, and then we got guys who can step in and fill those roles and play well.
Now, there's a prevailing thought, Eli, that the Giants got to be 5-0 playing against the junior varsity, and that's kind of unfair because every team in the NFL has a chance to win in any given week, but that the Giants really were exposed by playing against a really good team like New Orleans. Do you buy into that at all, that the competition has not been great leading up to 5-0?
No, I mean, I think we played a tough Dallas team. Obviously, Oakland showed that they can do some things. They beat Philadelphia this past weekend. So I think any week, you got to show up with your A game and play well. And, you know, we've been doing that, you know, every week. We've handled our business. We've gone in there and played good football. We haven't turned the ball over much. Our defense played outstanding. You know, offensively, we scored when we got in, inside the red zone these last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. So I think we've just played well. And this week, you know, we did some good things. We had some mistakes that we got to correct, and we can move on. So I think, you know, everybody, you know, that's kind of that Monday when you come in after a loss. No one's in a great mood, especially the first loss of the season. But I think, you know, we're more mad than discouraged. I don't think we're worried about our team. We know we can bounce back and come back and play well.
Darren, about Darren Sharper, earlier in the season when the Jets played New Orleans, Sharper had a pick six. He had one on Sunday against you, but it was nullified because of the Vilma roughing the passer penalty. What is it about Darren Sharper that makes him such a force against quarterbacks?
Well, he's a smart player. He plays fast. He's aggressive. He will jump things, and if he sees something, he'll take a shot. So, he'll make some plays. And sometimes, you know, you can make plays off that also. You know, I missed Hickson on the first drive on a post route, and he was the middle safety, but he saw some crossing routes, so he sat on everything, and we took a shot. We just didn't connect on it. We got the touchdown to Mario on a because he's trying to disguise things and not show that he's playing the cover too. So, but he is very aggressive. He catches the ball very well and is aggressive. You know, he's been around the league and makes a lot of good plays.
Jeremy Shockey was going off in that game, and he had a lot to say leading up to it. Did you have a chance to have a conversation with him at all?
I talked to him, right before the game. We were out there for the coin toss. Said hey, and then I did say hi to him after the game. Just congratulated him on playing well, so no extensive talks though.
Now, are you shocked that Darren Sharper actually said that he started scouting you in high school?
I was not aware of that. So yeah,
he said that
shocked me a little bit.
He said that he knew it was Peyton Manning's brother and Archie Manning's son that he'd probably see in the NFL. So he started like looking at tapes of you in high school to just get ready.
I did not know that. So yeah, that's surprising, but I guess it's why he's a good player, because he knows his opponents and he obviously studies hard and you know, it's paid off for him because he makes a lot of plays and he's playing great football right now.
All right, one final thing, Eli. Does the team start to doubt if they're that good because of one bad game, or do you look at it as just one bad game?
You just look at it as a loss, and you know, you don't That's all it is. It's we've played great football. We got 5 wins. We're in a great position. We're 5-1. We're excited about where we are. So we just put this one behind us, and we get ready for a tough Arizona team who's playing well, and we go on. So I think everybody will come in ready to get back to practice tomorrow, get fired up for a new game planned, and we got Sunday night football and Giant Stadium, so you can't get much better than that.
I do have one other thing to ask you. Mark Sanchez, in his first wind-blown game at Giant Stadium, had an awful time. The first time you played there, how difficult is it for a young quarterback with those conditions?
You know, it's difficult for any quarterback. It's not just a young quarterback. I think the more you play in it, you just kind of learn your lessons sometimes. There's certain throws you can't make.
What can't you make?
Just long throws to the sideline, throwing into the wind, or deep balls that are into the wind. You just got to be smart about it. You got to throw it early. You got to be able to step into your throws. If you're a little off balance or you can't get everything on a throw, the wind's gonna take it, and you don't know what's gonna happen. So it's just you gotta be smart. I mean, you really gotta take into consideration some things you normally don't. You kind of know when you can make a throw or not, or get enough on it. All of a sudden, if you can't throw, if you don't think you can throw a spiral, or if you don't think you can quite get everything on this ball, you gotta kind of suck it up and say, hey, I can't make that throw. Either take a sack or find a back, or it's really about you gotta kind of go through your progressions and kind of say, hey, that guy's open, but all right, it's too windy. I can't make that throw. Where's my next progression? And so you got to be smart and make those type of decisions.
Do you know? I mean, have the owners told you that if the new ballpark is going to have that kind of wind, did they design it that it doesn't?
I haven't asked, so I do not know. I know it'll always be windy around here. Whether the new stadium will block some of that wind, we'll just have to see.
Eli, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, thanks a lot.
Ready to take with you anywhere. It's the Michael K. Show podcast.
I think Deone Pollock can get in there and get some things done. I think that Mike DeVito, I think Howard Green, I think with Sean Ellis and Marcus Douglas, it'll be a little bit of mixing it up and getting some guys in there. I think that it's just something that they're going to have to rally around the situation, and they're going to go out there and they're going to have to just show everybody what that football is about. But that hasn't just been something that I've been saying just now. It's been something that Rex has been talking about for a long time. We have a lot of guys who have a lot of potential to do things. They just have to go and just make it happen.
That was Chris Jenkins on our New York Jets Player Spotlight, brought to you by Metro PCS Unlimit Yourself, and that's a perfect way to start off with the Jets coach, Rex Ryan. Coach, Chris Jenkins said, hey, you can't give up because Chris Jenkins isn't in there. Is that what you're selling to your team as well, Coach?
Well, he's right about that. We're definitely not, there's no giving up with this group. We're stepping up, if anything, and I think that's the key. You develop your depth through training camp and all that, and Chris is exactly right. It's, we have some guys that we feel really good about. Sione Buaha, whatever you pronounce his name, we say Bo. That's how we say it, but he's a tremendous player in his own right. Mike DeVito, Marcus Douglas has been around me for a long time as a quality football player. And, of course, we all know Sean Ellis. I mean, Sean Ellis is a big-time player. And, so we feel good about the guys that we have. Unfortunately, obviously Chris Jenkins is there may be one or two Chris Jenkinses, guys like Chris in the entire league. So he's definitely going to be missed. But, we do have a lot of trust in the guys behind him.
I know you being the defensive guru you are, you just said it, how much you realize that Chris Jenkins means to this team. So when you heard that he was out for the year, what was your first reaction, Rex, other than, okay, I've got to rally the troops and then we got to keep this going? Your first reaction when they told you he's done?
The first thing is, it feels like you get punched in the stomach. But after you get over that, the initial shock of it is that we do have a lot of good football players. This is, I remember one year when I was coaching in Baltimore, we let our top 6 defensive linemen go. And, so Chris Jenkins is going to be hard to replace, but we've been down that road before. And, I think being around Chris, I think, is really really going to help these guys. They know you know what we expect and all that. They've learned from Chris, and we just got to trust in our techniques, trust in our fundamentals, and trust in the guy that's playing beside you as well, and we'll get this thing done.
You know, a lot of coaches don't like injured players around. They almost feel like it's something that could be caught. But it seems like Chris Jenkins, when we spoke to him, he wants to be there. He almost wants to be a de facto coach. Do you think that he can help by being around?
I think so. I mean, the guys really respect Chris, and they look up to him. It's just like even when they knew that, he was down, he was still rallying the troops, So he's got a lot of positive energy, and obviously he's been around the game a lot. He studies, he might not want you to think he studies as much as he does, but this guy's a real pro. He does study, and he takes pride in it, and I'm counting on that leadership. That's going to be great, and I think Chris, even to him, I think being around it is going to get him, to where he can't wait to get back. And I know he's going to do whatever it takes, to get back to 100%, ready to go the next year. I like having our players around us.
Jets head coach Rex Ryan is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show, 1050 ESPN New York. One more thing that Chris said that I found fascinating, we all did, Rex, and he said, this three-game losing streak, he said a lot of it has to do, and I'm paraphrasing, that a lot of these players don't know how to handle success and they don't know how to handle New York as well. He said the coaches are doing their job, but the players have to realize it just doesn't come easy. Did you sense that some of the players are starting to read their press clippings, Rex?
No, I never did. I think you got to give credit to our opponent a little bit more. The opponent has a lot to do with it as well. I think New Orleans is probably playing as well as anybody in the league right now. Because I thought the Jets or the Giants were the cream of the NFC, and then New Orleans handled the Giants pretty well last week, and then I think Miami, they got the job done, and Buffalo, you get six interceptions. That was pretty impressive. But again, where our focus is, just let's just win one game a week, and well, that's where our entire focus is. So we're playing the Oakland Raiders. They're coming off an impressive win where they had six sacks against Donovan McNabb, against an outstanding Philadelphia Eagles team. So, this is our focus. We're just trying to beat Oakland.
Now, Coach, on last week's show with us, you said that the game against Buffalo was a must-win. You said we have to have this one. And you lose a must-game, and that kind of puts you into a conundrum as a coach. You lost a must-win, so what happens after that?
Well, this one's a must-win. I mean, you keep going. I mean, I think it is a must-win that we have to, we've got out of, get out of this funk. We got to get back on the winning ways. Now, clearly, it's not like we're going to give up. The fact that we lost a game that I feel is a must-win, we lost. We're not giving up, we're pressing on. But I thought it was important. Our guys played hard. They gave everything, we had in it, just that we made too many mistakes to be successful. I think when we go back, we looked at the film, we studied it, we've had everybody in. I think the attitude's great. We see that we can improve as a football team, and it's not something the opponent necessarily is doing, that we have to make the changes ourselves. And I think that's a positive, because you definitely see it out there that we can get better, we can improve. If there was no room for improvement, we got beat by a better team and all that kind of stuff, then we'd really have troubles, and issues. But I look at it as our football team, the improvements we can make, are going to make us a better team down the road. And again, I know our focus is one week at a time, and that's on the Oakland Raiders. The other game is behind us now, but the Raiders are going to get our entire focus right now.
Let's talk, Rex, about Mark Sanchez. And this is happening behind you when you're on the sidelines, but the cameras kept showing Mark after like the third or fourth interception. He looked defeated. He had that hangdog look. He had his hands covering his face. He just looked like he was like a defeated guy. Are you surprised that Mark, who exudes such confidence, would actually feel like that about himself? And obviously you saw the tapes of it afterward. Were you surprised by what you saw?
I think, more than anything, there's frustration, that you know, he wants to do well. I think he was pressing the issue a little bit instead of just, you know, go out, play the position. And that's what we're trying to stress to him is that, hey, look, you don't have to bail the whole team out, you know, and if you make a mistake, don't make a bigger one by going out and trying to force the issue. And I think that's where he's going to grow from this. It's interesting. There's, you know, we've looked at all kind of, you know, the quarterbacks where they, you know, have ranked and all that kind of stuff after their first six opponents. I mean, you know, we do all kind of things that we're looking at. And quite honestly, we think Mark is, you know, really ahead of it. So, you know, I think these mistakes right here, I think he's going to grow from it. I think we've really, you know, Brian Schottenheimer and Bill Callahan and all those guys over there, they've done a great job, and they're breaking it down. Matt Kavanaugh, you know, what can we do to help, you know, Mark out and, you know, to maybe speed his development and all those type of things? And is there something that we can take off his plate, maybe move to the offensive line's plate or something like that? We're looking at all those things, and we're going to try to make the game slow down for Mark a little bit.
After the game, Coach, you admitted that you thought about, you know, sending in the relief pitcher, so to speak. My question to you is, now that you said that and you didn't do it, are you worried that he might be looking over his shoulder every time he struggles?
No. No, I don't think so. I think he's going to go out and just like anybody. I mean, if it's, you know, you we're going to do what's best for our team. And, you know, Lito Shepherd has, you know, a quad that's he's not 100%. So we had to make that change. You know, it's interesting. I tell you the kind of teammate Lito Shepherd is. He's supposed to get help underneath on on that touchdown that, you know, everybody says, well, he got burned on the touchdown. And that might be, you know, that's a fact, but there was some, he was supposed to have help underneath, yet he never once mentioned the teammate, never once used it as an excuse, you know, and he's playing with a quad that really isn't 100%. So at that time, I had to take him out. I felt it was best to take Lito out and put in Lowry, you know, put in a guy that, you know, I thought gave us the best chance to win at that time, and that's what we did. And again, I know it's a quarterback position, but I just felt that he was going to, you know, that if we could, I think that, you know, he could lead us down that field into a game-winning, you know, field goal, and I had a lot of confidence in that. And the fact that we were there knocking on the door just never went our way, you know, that was disappointing.
Rex, after you looked at the tape and everything, obviously, you know, you're disappointed about the way the team played, but was there anything that took place during that game that made you mad, that you said, that's just not right, they shouldn't be playing like that?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, you know, some of the things, you know, we had some penalties that showed up that I thought were selfish. And, you know, we can't have that. And so that'll be, you know, that's going to be obvious, you know, to the individuals. I'll bring them in and you know, it's not going to happen again, and I feel confident it won't happen again. But you have to be smart. You have to play this game. You know, you have to be smart. You have to understand the big picture, and I think we might have got carried away at a couple of times. The thing that is really disappointing, you know, obviously, you know, six interceptions, that's about as disappointing as it gets, but the fact we had six penalties in the overtime period, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we're trying to get all that ironed out. Why are we doing it? We're looking at all these different things. We have officials at every practice. We got to take advantage of that fact, you know, even more so than we're doing. And, you know, well, we'll see. I feel good. I thought we had, early in the season, we had some issues with pre-snap penalties. I thought we really, you know, made a point of emphasis on it, and we haven't seen it now for about 6 weeks, and then it raises its head again. So we got to make sure, 5 weeks, we got to make sure that, that you know, we're taking care of ourselves and giving ourselves an opportunity to be successful and not shooting ourselves in the foot.
Coach, you threw the red flag on that punt return. The yardage seemed negligible. The timeout seemed too important. Why did you throw the red flag in that situation in the fourth quarter?
Well, at the time, yardage is huge. You know, that 6 yards can make a difference, you know, can be a difference between winning and losing. And I know so can a timeout. But when I looked up, I saw the Jumbotron had a freeze frame. And the play happened right in front of me. And then I see that the Jumbotron's got a picture of it where clearly the guy's out of bounds. So I'm like, well, I'm going to take this. This is an item. This is a gimme. And then when the TV view shows it, that they don't have an angle of it. So that was something that, you know, that obviously was disappointing. But I think everybody in the stadium thought that the guy had stepped out of bounds, you know. But again, that falls on my shoulders all the way. It never turned out well, you know, and we lost the timeout.
Rex, I've spoken with a lot of quarterbacks who have said you have to throw the ball differently when the winds are swirling at the Meadowlands. Because Mark hasn't had a lot of experience in that realm, what can the coaches do to try to help him be more prepared for the next home game?
Well, I think we went out in a lot worse conditions even on Wednesday. I mean, it was brutal out there on the practice, and he did a great job, you know, on the practice fields, making all kind of throws and things. Went out early. He spins the ball like, you know, he can throw it. You know, there's no question. We had Joe Flacco last year, was the same way. These guys can spin the ball where it's not as effect. You know, the wind doesn't affect it like it does other quarterbacks. He's got big hands, so the conditions really shouldn't be that big of a factor. I will admit that, you know, sure, there was definitely a heck of a breeze in his face, especially in that third quarter. But, you know, we got to look at it and we're going to, you know, see, hey, how can we make sure that you know, that we limit those mistakes or whatever it is. If there's things that we can help them, you know, help Mark with, then that's what we're looking at doing right now.
You talked about paring down the playbook. How can you simplify things for Sanchez without your offense becoming too predictable?
Well, we're not going to be predictable on offense. There's no way. We're going to stay, you know, true to who we are with multiple shifts and motions and things. But if there's some things that we can take off his plate and maybe give to an Alan Faneca, give to a Nick Mangold or different people, then that's what we're going to do. You know, we want Mark to play the position. He's a bright young man and things, but if we feel that we can you know, lighten his load up a little bit, then that's what we're going to do.
One final thing, Coach, before we let you go. You know, you have grand aspirations for this season and your whole time with the Jets, and you have talked about playoffs and Super Bowl and stuff like that. And in fairness to Mark Sanchez, he's a neophyte. He's a kid. He's learning on the job. And it almost seems like those two things are at loggerheads with each other. I mean, can you continue to have Mark Sanchez grow, and can you continue to have Super Bowl aspirations at the same time?
Well, that's how I feel about it. You know, I think both things can happen. I saw it firsthand last year when we got one game away from going to the Super Bowl in Baltimore. I've seen, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, a young quarterback, lead his team deep in the playoffs. You saw Matt Ryan last year, get Atlanta in the playoffs. So I think now that, you know, there are some examples of guys being able to do that. You know, I just think we have to have a good enough team built around him. I think Mark's an outstanding, you know, player. I think he's going to be an outstanding quarterback. Is he as good now as he's going to be a year from now, 2 years from now? Probably not. But I think he's good enough right now, you know, to get our team where we want it to be. But to be honest with you, long-range goals, all that, my focus is squarely on the Raiders and getting a win this weekend, and I think that's where our players' focus will be as well.
Will Kotry be healthy?
I hope so. I don't have a crystal ball, but I certainly hope so. He's an outstanding receiver, and he's a guy we really miss. Not taking anything away from David Clowney or Wallace Wright, but you know, Jericho's a tremendous player, and so hopefully we'll be able to get him back this week.
Good luck in Oakland, Rex. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Go Yanks.
All right. Thanks, Rex. That's Rex Ryan, coach of the Jets.
This has been the Michael K. Show podcast. Exclusive interviews and nonstop Team 1050 coverage. Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.